Welcome to the Admin Admin Podcast, a podcast for people working in the real world of IT. If you're a sysadmin, working on a help desk, a network engineer, an IT consultant, a computer tech, you want to know more about servers, or even if you want to get a job in the IT field, this podcast is for you. Hi, I'm Al, and it's only me tonight. And this is episode 59 and a half. So I want to apologise, really. We haven't had many podcasts out lately. And the reason it is a half episode is because episode 60, we haven't actually managed release yet, and I wanted to kind of have this as a bit of apology, because episode 60 is all about Hack Oktoberfest, where we had John the Nice Guy come in and talk about the thing that DigitalOcean was running about getting people to contribute to open source using Git. So we recorded the podcast actually in the start of October, I think, or in the middle of October, but me being away for work and still away for work, having audio issues as normal, we have haven't had time to publish it yet. And it's kind of a bit of a time-crucial episode, which is a bit unfortunate, because it's all about that if you do 4 commits using Git, you can get a free T-shirt, but you have to do it by the end of October. So once this episode out, I will try and release episode 60, which is a really good episode, because John the Nice Guy came on and we discussed all about what Git is and how to push and how to pull. And it's really good. So I managed to complete my 4 pull requests, and still waiting for my T-shirt. So, but I'll let you know when it turns up. So what I wanted to talk to you about is a couple of handy tools I found, which I thought you guys and girls might want to know about. As you know, I've been kind of working on a quite big project lately about dividing up one big subnet into smaller subnets, so that we can apply firewall rules between the different little smaller subnets. But the problem, the first thing I have to do is actually discover what they had on this network. So they had a range of servers, and which has static IP addresses, and they have a range of PCs, which mostly using DHCP, which DHCP is just basically a way of auto-configuring devices. So DHCP is a way of dynamically assigning your device and an IP address. Like when you're at home with your home router, you plug your laptop into the router, or you connect to the Wi-Fi, it automatically gets an IP address. The good thing about that is that you can obviously, when you change subnets, DHCP will go out and obviously find out what the new IP address range is to be, and the new default gateway and subnet mask is. So what we were using is a thing, I was using a tool called Advanced IP Scanner, which is a free little tool. It basically pings every device on the network, and if it replies back, it will get the IP address and the MAC address. And then we can kind of look at what those devices are. And the way I kind of determined what they are is by looking at the MAC address. And there's other things what you can look at as well, is that the IP scanner tool will actually tell you if that there's like a web server running on that port, or if it's sharing out a printer or sharing out folders. So with the MAC addresses, a MAC address is how you map the actual IP address to actual MAC address. Then they normally divide into 6 octets, and the first 3 octets, which are each of them a hex. So the first 3 octets will be a certain value. So it'll tell you if it's like VMware. And the other ones you can tell is like if it's a printer or if it's a PC. And it's basically, you can just Google those OUIs, and they will tell you what they are. And the good thing about the tool is it will basically do that for you. So you can then, I basically just exported it into an Excel spreadsheet so that I've got all that information. And obviously you can see with what the servers are, but we found a load of the PCs which weren't in the DHCP scope range, and a load of them PCs which were in the server range. And this is because the old proxy server to go on the internet had to have a static IP address to get authenticated to go out, but now they use AD. So these can be changed the IP to DHCP, so that when we do the IP segmentation, we haven't got to go around and to these 40 PCs and change the IP address, because they won't work once we changed it. So what we were doing is there's a little utility called a PSXEC, which is by SysInternals, which is actually which were a separate company, but now owned by Microsoft. And what you can do with PS Exec is that you can run commands remotely against PCs, so you haven't got to log on to them. So what I was doing is using NetSH again, this is a command tool which does your networking stack in Windows. You can basically tell it to set an IP address, but you can also tell it to use from a static IP address. If it has a static IP address, it can then tell it to use DHCP. So you basically tell PXExec, tell it what PC you want to run it against and tell it the command you want to run. So I'll put those commands in the show notes, and that basically run it again those 40 machines, and it changed all of those PCs from static addresses to DHCP addresses. Another thing which I wanted to talk about, which is quite handy, is a thing called a tool called Pocket Ethernet, which is a nice little tool which is a bit like a Fluke, but a lot cheaper, but it's really cool. It uses Bluetooth. It's a bit like a Raspberry Pi. I'm wondering if there must be an open source version of this. And if there isn't, I'm thinking about maybe seeing if I could write one or start a project. But what this does is you plug it into any port and it will tell you what is at the other end of that port, what the condition of the line is, like what the network cable is, how long it is, if the cable's good or anything. But the main reason we were using it is that obviously I did an IP scan of the network earlier, and a lot of the devices we have to look at is the point of sales devices. And these point of sales devices have to go into a new VLAN. And what we were finding is that to work out what port, so yes, they basically say, right, if this point of sales device needs to go into this VLAN, so let's say that we're going into VLAN 40 for the points of sales devices need to go in VLAN 40, clients need to go in VLAN 11, and the servers go into VLAN 10. What we were doing is that obviously I printed out my exported from Advanced IP Scanner into an Excel spreadsheet. What you can also do on switches is you can export the MAC address list, and it tells you what ports they're connected to. So obviously I know what the three octets of the OUI of the MAC address is that what tell you what's a POS. And what I can do is that if I ask the networking guys to dump from the switch a MAC address list, it will say, this POS device is in port A1. When you do a MAC address dump for the switch, it will say that the MAC address for this POS is in port A1. And the problem I had as well is that my tool was very printed the MAC addresses in one format and the switch put it into another format. So, which is really annoying. So from the switch dumped it, they have three octets, then colon, and then three octets, but my tool was printing one octet, colon, another octet, colon, octet, colon, octet, colon, octet, colon. So every between every octet there was a colon. But I found some code on the internet on using Excel to convert the octet format from my way until the other way. It says that different vendors do it different ways. So I basically could then basically match in Excel. I could match my list of MAC addresses to their MAC addresses to see what ports they needed to be configured in when they sent it handed back to the network guys. So the problem we had is that all worked, which is good. So most of the ports work. But then sometimes, this is a long story, go back to my Pocket Ethernet tool, which is this little device which you can plug into a port. Because what we were finding is that sometimes that you basically statically assigned these POS devices. They couldn't speak to the POS server, but it was because they were in the wrong VLAN. But annoyingly, if you've ever done it, it's that a lot of these places don't have marking on the wall saying what port they go back to and to what switch. And then obviously when you go back to the switch cabinet, you have no idea without tracing a cable where it's going. So this Pocket Ethernet thing, using a nice thing called LLDP, which is Link Layer Discovery Portal, which is a really good little saving tool. The switch advertises for you what port and what VLAN that port is in. So you take the POS device, unplug it, plug this Pocket Ethernet device in, And this is the Bluetooth to your phone. And what it does is, using LLDP, it requests the port. It asks it, what port am I connected to? And it will say, you're connected to this switch and port A2. And it will say, like, I'm in VLAN 10, not in VLAN 40. So it saves you loads of time. So you can go then go back to networking guys and say, look, this is in the wrong port. You change it from A2, from 10 to VLAN 40. But obviously, this is like a £200 device. But we did find a little thing called LDWin, which is a little Windows product, which is free, which is Link Discovery Windows. And it's basically, you can run it on your laptop. And when you plug your Ethernet cable into your network port on your laptop, it will do exactly the same as a Pocket Ethernet. It will tell you if your switches can do it. We were using HPE ProCurves. And it will show you what port you are plugged into, which is really, really handy. So it doesn't do things like the length of the cable, or the pairs are twisted correctly, etc., etc., or any packets are being lost or anything, but it will tell you what port you're connected to and what VLAN you're connected to. So you can go back to the network engineers and say, look, can you change this to this? So I'll put the link in the two discoveries. So that's using link layer discovery protocol, which is a really good, which is a vendor neutral thing, because Cisco do thing called CDP, which is the Cisco Discovery Protocol, which is priority to Cisco. But this link layer discovery protocol also helped me out in my VMware environment, because I needed to move the ports, the cables, from one switch to another. But the people, again, this is a mess. The cables didn't have any labels on them. The wall and the description of on the switch, because when you configure a port on the switch, you can actually you can put the description, a little description saying this is VM NIC 1. But the problem is that the description didn't match what the things were plugged into the port and the VMware environment. So you can enable link layer discovery protocol, LDDP, in VMware, and it will tell you. We're using virtual distributed switches. You can click on the port on your VM NIC, and it will tell you what port it's connected to on the switch and what switch it's connected to. So we could label the cables up correctly, and we have confidence when we move from one switch to another, it will work. And again, I've used this link layer discovery project before, mainly for discovering switches. So if you've got a switch, if you don't know what other switches are connected to that switch, you can do LLDP and it will tell you what other switches are connected to it, or if you've got wireless access point to it, it will tell you about it. So yeah, it's all about preparing really for how to, it's discovery really, all about this product. It's discovery, discovery, discovery. And then what we want to do is make sure that everything is in the right order. So we go that all, we know all the servers, I've got a massive colourful spreadsheet. I love my spreadsheet and it's all colourful. It tells you, depending on what colour the cell is, it will say what VLAN it's going into, and if it's an IP subnet change, or and what VLAN it's going to, or if it changes to DHCP. So yeah, so when we go into the night of the big task where we do this IP separation, I know what devices need to be changed. So on the servers, we're doing is changing the DHCP. Sorry, DHCP. I'll tell you that in a minute. But it's about telling that either the server does need their subnet mask and default gateway change. You can use all we need to do. And when we come to change the DHCP scope, we basically created a new DHCP scope because it wasn't the same range as before, because we're going to do that the way we split in the network, guys. But the last thing we wanted to talk to you really about tonight, two things actually, is printers. We had a lot of printers which were using IP direct printing. So luckily they had a print server. They have a load of, I think their brother multifunction device, and they were set up correctly with DNS names. So if you, I always kind of think that if you do it properly, so this is what the way I kind of do it is that it's the easiest way to swap it over. So we had loads of printers which had static IP addresses, but obviously when we move across, obviously if they're static IP addresses, they won't work. A lot of people don't like it when if you don't sign a print to a static IP address, you get DHCP address. Obviously, if it loses its release or something, it gets new IP address. But when you go into the printer properties, obviously it's got the old IP address. So that's a lot of people's static IP address. So what I do is three things really. One is that I get the MAC address, okay, go to DHCP, create a reservation for that MAC. So what a MAC address reservation in DHCP means that every time that printer boots and asks for IP address, it will get given that same IP address. Okay. I then create a DNS record for that, which maps the IP address I reserved for that printer. Okay. And then what I then did is I went to the printer properties, and where it's got an IP address, I change it from an IP address to a DNS name. So once I've done set the MAC address reservation, set the DNS record, which matches to that IP address that's been assigned, I then go to the printer's IP address, change it from a static address to DHCP address. When it reboots, obviously it goes to DHCP server, goes, oh, that MAC address has got a reservation, I'm going to give it that IP address. So when you get a print now, it prints, it goes, where have we got to print this to? Oh, the printer goes, oh, and I need to print it to this DNS name. So DNS name goes to the IP address. Obviously, the IP address is reserved for that printer, and it will print. The good thing about that is, though, obviously, when we change over in the night to a new scheme, what will happen is that you can, using again, I think it's NetHS again, I'll put a link in the show notes, that it will, you can export all the settings from your DHCP server into a text file, update the reservations with a new IP address and a new range, and then you can re-import them into the new DHCP scope. And all we need to do on the night is go to those 10 DNS names and change the DNS names records so they match new IP address. So we haven't got to log on the print server, log on to go into 10 printers and change the IP address, the DNS name or the IP address in the printer. So in the morning, we get the user to reboot the printer. The printer will get rebooted. The printer will get a new IP address because when it boots, it goes, oh, can I DHCP server? Do I need any IP address? And it will go, you say yes. It will then get a new IP address. So when you go to print, obviously the printer will go and look at the DNS name and see what the IP address, and obviously it's got a new IP address, and it will obviously print a new IP address. So that's the way I like to do it, because this keeps it simple and you only have to change DNS names to the new IP addresses. The last thing I want to just talk about is quickly again is I've been writing Python scripts again, because the guys, so I've already done one site. The second site I'm doing this week is that the way we do it is that the network guys already preload the config, a pre and post config onto the switches. So they can say, next time reboot, either reload the pre config or the post config. And they've got about 40 switches they need to log on. So using a Python script, I have written a script which basically logs on for them using SSH, and it will basically just do what they need to do, tell it what flash to boot off, and then when it reboots the next time, it will reboot with the new config, the pre or the post config. So if you roll back, we just can run the script again to load the other script to say use the pre config. But I'll let you know how that that Python script goes on. But again, I think that's it for tonight. Just a quick catch up. Sorry we haven't had many episodes. But yeah, apologies again for not getting anything out there. But I'll try and get episode 60 out in the next couple of weeks. Yeah, sorry about the time criticalization on there. But hopefully next time you can win a T-shirt. There's two other things I want to mention. One is that I introduced a podcast the other day called On the Lily Wild Show, which is a really good podcast made about mindfulness and getting empowered. It's all about a lady called Phoebe Smith, who likes to who goes out camping on her own in the wild. So yeah, give that a listen. And the other one I wanted to mention about as a podcast I found was, which is called, and the other podcast I want to mention is called Kernel Panic, which is a really good podcast. So I think I mentioned a couple of weeks, months ago about a Python tutorial I was following on YouTube. And they also do a podcast called Kernel Panic, which is like life of sysadmin stuff. So check it out. Okay, so that's it for tonight. And again, apology for lack of episode. Hopefully you'll get better. Probably after, we'll probably do one Christmas show, probably as normal, and then we'll hopefully get back in the new year when I'm back in the country quite a lot more and getting some more episode out there. Yeah, so thanks for keeping in tune, guys, and speak to you all soon. Bye for now.